India is well established as the pharmacy of the world. The country is the largest provider of generic medicines globally with 20% share and enjoys 60% share of vaccines as well. However, the same cannot be said about R&D and innovation in India. The Indian pharma industry has until now not been able to make significant inroads in fields such as discovering new drugs and medical technologies which are accepted and used globally. However, with the generic industry facing headwinds such as fierce price competition, the urgency to make these inroads is fast rising. In fact, the next leg of growth is expected to be from R&D and innovation. Latest reports indicate that the Indian pharma and medtech industry could grow potentially to $120 to $130 billion over the next 10 years, of which innovation is expected to be a key driver of growth. In fact, R&D is expected to comprise of two-thirds of the global pharma opportunity. So the big question is, where will Indian pharma be in 2030? Will we be an innovation hub or would we have missed the bus? And what does it take from all stakeholders, government and pharma companies, for example, to make these inroads? To answer all this and more, we have with us none other than Mr. G.V. Prasad of Dr. Reddy's. Mr. Prasad, hi, welcome to the Medicine Box.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on this show.
Well, Mr. Prasad, you know, let's start with the big question. If we have to have this conversation, say in 2030, estimates are that the pharma industry in India could grow to a level of $120 to $130 billion. To put it into perspective, it's currently around $40 billion. Is this achievable?
I am quite optimistic that this is achievable. And there's going to be growth in our core business of generics, biologics, biosimilars, and innovative products. The innovative products is a little more uncertain than the other two segments. The other two segments, India is going to be a leader actually in the world. Innovation will take more time, will take more effort, will require support from the ecosystem, which is government, funding agencies, private equity, academic institutions, and of course, startups. But the potential is there to be a leader in innovation. I don't think we've missed the bus. The Indian companies have been quite active in this space, building up early stage pipelines, partnering internationally. And also the service business provides a good training ground for our research scientists to understand how innovation is done. So I am optimistic, and I think this $130, $140 million for the next 10 years is very much achievable.
Okay. Well, Mr. Prasad, you know, that point is taken that yes, we have made inroads, but we are still not significantly present as we are present in, say, when it comes to the generic industry. So why is that? Is it because the Indian pharma industry was too concentrated on building their feet within the generic space? Or is it because we haven't really got that kind of conducive environment to encourage innovation? And maybe because we were probably in a little bit of a comfort zone.
I think all the reasons that you mentioned are more or less on the spot. But I'd like to add a little dimension, little more dimensionality to this. We cannot see the innovation business as a natural progression from API to generics to branded generics to innovation. I think it's a very different business. The horizons for development, the investments for development, the risks involved are very different. It's a different business. So in that sense, I am not sure we can think of a regular generic company becoming an innovative company as a natural progression. The innovation business requires highly concentrated bets of large size. The development cycles are very different. The risk appetite is very different. So I, you know, find it a little difficult when people, you know, say, well, you're a generic company, why can't you discover drugs? The skills required are quite different. Generic drugs largely are products which are known. You make equivalent versions, you establish equivalents, you register the product and you sell the product. In innovation, you have to start with the unmet need. Understand what the unmet need is deeply, understand what the evolving standard of care is, understand the gap, and then work your way back into the science. and understand how the, you know, where you know you can innovate and find a product which meets a real unmet need. Discovering novel products is easy, but you also must find a novel product which is efficacious, valuable, and can outcompete in the marketplace. So I would say doing innovation is a lot harder than doing generic drugs. It's a lot longer. It requires a lot of investment. So for innovation to thrive, it needs a lot of support from the environment. And here, I think the government is a major source of support in many countries. If you look at China, the Chinese have really supported their companies in building them up into innovative giants. So I think we will need a very robust environment for Indian companies to become innovators. Of course, innovator Indian companies are also very smart. They've gone very intelligently into deal making, into licensing in, licensing out, partnerships to make up for the lack of all the infrastructure that innovation needs. And of course, financing remains a huge challenge for innovation. It's not like you're going to get some value out of innovation. You might get zero or a lot. So the risk return equation is very different from the pharmaceutical business that we currently run when we start doing innovation.
Okay, well, then that point is absolutely taken, Mr. Prasad, that, you have to have the ability to accept defeat when it comes to innovation. You have to have the ability and the risk appetite as well, not to mention funding. But one of the key criticisms about the lack of innovation in India is because of a lack of a culture of a collaborative environment, say from the government, say when it comes to funding or any such kind of regulation which is required. Where do you think we rank when it comes to a culture of collaboration as compared to, say, the global peers? And what do we need to do now in order to become or to make some kind of strides in innovation?
I think the answer is not as simple. I think innovation requires many things to fall in place. It's a long-term game. People have to be at it for sometimes decades. In Dr. Reddy's, we started discovery research in the early 90s, 93 or so. And over 10 years, we did a lot of research in diabetes, metabolic disorders. We had successes, we licensed, we built partnerships, but ultimately it didn't pan out at that point. So we refocused. Today, we've moved our innovation effort into our subsidiary called Origine, and we focus on oncology there. And there also, we do early stage work. We partner with global giants, global biotech companies, to license our product, and they invest the large amounts of money required for doing clinical trials. As of now, I would find it very difficult for an Indian company to take a product all the way from discovery to launch because of the massive investment required in phase 3 trials, in registration trials, do 2 trials sometimes, and go through the whole process. So at this point, I think Indian companies are not yet ready for going the whole hog. But I think incrementally, a lot of work is happening. Many companies among our peers have invested in early stage innovation. Early stage innovation is thriving in India. If you ask, all the companies have early stage molecules, they're building partnerships, they're licensing them out, and they're learning this game. And as the confidence builds, I think we will go further into clinical trials. We will invest in phase 2, phase 3 global trials. And also maybe look at innovation from a very Indian perspective. There are unmet needs in India which are not met by the global companies. And that's an opportunity for Indian companies to innovate, do local trials, which could be a little less expensive than the global trials. Maybe the reward won't be so high, but it'll still be a place to innovate. And I think I can see that companies taking multiple approaches, maybe local innovators, maybe regional innovators, maybe, and then global innovators. So I am hopeful that this will happen. And today, the science is evolving so fast that even if we didn't have the deep expertise that we should have had in discovery, it's not so much of a disadvantage because the science is changing for everybody. aided by digital revolution, artificial intelligence, the new biology, the mRNA platforms, the cell and gene therapies, all of these are in very early stages and we can quickly catch up. Mm-hmm. And maybe some Indian company will be a leader in some of these platforms.
Okay. Well, that point is taken definitely, Mr. Prasad, that there is an opportunity when it comes to localized innovation as well, not to mention that there are around 3,000 diseases which have unmet needs at this point in time globally. But if you had to even encourage local innovation, a lot of your peers have described the regulatory system in India when it comes to innovation around 2 decades old as compared to our global peers. So if you have to make these strides, what do you think needs to be done from a regulatory standpoint?
No, excellent question. And this is one of the biggest dilemmas we have. We need regulators who are as good as anybody else out there in the world in terms of understanding unmet needs, understanding the science, and also be open to innovation, not just see the downside, but also upside of finding a solution to a disease. So I would like the regulators to be much better qualified, much better informed, be cutting edge on the science, and ask us very tough, relevant questions which we can answer. But today the dialogue doesn't get become so value adding today. And I hope that, and I am seeing a lot of progress. COVID has accelerated a lot of change with the regulators. The regulators are very positive, but I do think they need expertise. They need global expertise. They do not need to understand translational science, toxicology, and also, you know, be more current in how they, you know, look at drug development and drug discovery. If they can include some of the experts, and there are certainly great experts in India, into the regulatory system, I think that'll make a big difference. Also, if the, you know, the regulatory regime is not just looking at safety of patients, which is paramount, of course, but also to look at finding solutions to diseases which need breakthrough innovations and encourage private sector companies to innovate, that would make a big difference. So the big, you know, the big facilitator for the innovation business will be the regulator. Hmm. And the regulator who's out to find solutions rather than, you know, just find problems would be wonderful for us.
Okay. Any low-hanging fruit in terms of what the government could do? Because there is things like, for example, weighted deduction with regards to R&D, which was reversed. One, something which is low-hanging, and two, something which is larger. For example, there are countries which fund companies till proof of concept, or the fact that there are innovation hubs which multiple countries have. Anything from that perspective, one, which is low-hanging fruit, and two, which is maybe a larger perspective which the government can provide in terms of regulatory support.
So, you know, fiscal incentives, I think, is something the government is seized of and they are doing a lot. And I don't want to add to that. I think ultimately it falls on us, private sector, to bring value-adding products to the regulators. And if the regulator is also has the accountability of finding solutions to unmet needs for our populations, that would be a motivating factor for them to encourage innovation. And in some ways, other than the you know, enablement of the private sector, in many ways, the regulators can be an equal partner in innovation. And if the regulatory system is organized around driving innovation, finding solutions to the pathologies that affect our populations, it would be wonderful. That would be a much more enabling environment than, you know, of course, fiscal incentives are important, but fiscal incentives combined with the encouragement of innovation from the government, and you know, some level of financial support to biotechs or early stage companies would also go a long way. See, healthcare is a strategic industry for the country. We have seen during COVID how much it can impact our lives, how important health is to the economy of the country and for everything else. So like we invest in defense, like we invest in education, I would urge the government to think of this and investing in innovation, which is relevant to our population, which is relevant to our country, and which will make a difference to patients in India.
Okay. Well, the other problem which innovation faces in India is the lack of personnel to work within biopharmaceuticals. What has your personal experience been, Mr. Prasad? Because, you know, statistics say that there are 253 researchers per million population in India versus 1,300 in China and versus around 8,000 in South Korea. But we do have some of the largest science graduates in terms of a pool, but majority of them seem to find opportunities elsewhere. That's a big problem when it comes to innovation. How does your company deal with it? And how should we deal with it from a country perspective?
So in innovation, quantity is not that important. Quality is much more important. A small hub like Cambridge provides breakthrough in innovation, or at the West Coast also, a small place around Stanford, creates much more innovative products than many countries and nations. So I'm not too worried about number of people that we have. Numbers are, I think the supply is not a constraint. The demand is a constraint. I think we need to have more companies doing innovation. We must encourage a lot more startups in the biotech space. So in my view, I think manpower is not a constraint. I think highly qualified manpower is an issue. Mm-hmm. Leadership talent is an issue. People who can imagine solutions, who can imagine the problem to solve, focus on the problems. These are skills we still don't have very well. Our Indian system is tuned towards solving problems which are well-defined. Mm-hmm. But sometimes to imagine the problem that we want to solve, you need a more creative mind, a creative scientist. So I'm hoping that a few good examples will spur individuals into innovation. And that's what we need to see. We need to see a few quick wins, and that I think will create the positive spiral of supply driving demand and demand driving supply.
Okay. Those India-specific opportunities, anything that you could probably dwell on a little further?
We have many problems in India, healthcare. You take diabetes, you take cancer, you take anything. We have enough numbers to solve for. And most innovation is unaffordable to Indian patients. If you take, say, immuno-oncology drugs, the course of treatment goes into hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even if they give us special third world pricing into India, it's still not accessible. So innovation need not necessarily be in just discovering brand new drugs, but also we can make follow-on drugs to known therapies and make them more affordable to Indian population. Small molecule discovery is already quite well understood in India. We could create small molecule solutions for biologics instead of biologics. We can also invest in creating low-cost biologics and make them more affordable to the large populations in India and other emerging markets. Mm. So I feel affordability will actually increase with innovation. And local-focused innovation will also look at diseases which have traditionally been not very attractive for large pharmaceutical companies. Mm. Anti-infectives is one area. There are some specific Indian problems like leishmaniasis, which doesn't have a good solution. There are other such rare diseases which don't have solutions. Government could start with that. Even problems like typhoid, malaria, these are things which don't have very strong research programs globally. At least I think in India, we can start with what is the gap in innovation for our Indian healthcare needs and focus on that and subsidize that at least.
Okay, absolutely. COVID-19, you mentioned that it's, and we all know that it's accelerated innovation. Do you think that we can sustain that kind of momentum?
I would think it's possible. It required a mindset change. I think the mindset change has happened with the government, with the private sector working very well together, driving deliveries, driving innovation, driving scale. All of that has happened during COVID, during the COVID times. I don't see any reason why we have to go back into the old way of doing things. I think the way we collaborated during COVID can continue, and I do see that happening.
Okay.
So, great.
Okay. All right. Dr. Prasad, Mr. Prasad, we're going to end this conversation by, in fact, asking you about Dr. Reddy's pipeline. I think you have around 13 molecules which are in the clinic right now. Can you give us a sense in terms of where you are when it comes to any kind of potential?
So this is from our subsidiary called Origin. The focus there is oncology, but we also have some therapies in the immune disorders, specifically psoriasis. We have partnerships with various companies. Our largest partnership is with a biotech company called Exelixis. We have 6 oncology assets in development with them. Apart from that, we are working on our own pipeline of 3 or 4 products, and we've partnered with other companies. So before the end of the decade, our dream is to see a product discovered in Origin, but launched across the world. And that is an ambition I think is very much possible in the next 10 years. And we look forward to making a difference to cancer treatment in the world today.
Okay, absolutely. All right, Mr. Prasad, we're going to leave it on that note. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining in and speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Ekta.